The Jason Rant Show.
Here to react, Seattle talk radio host Jason Rant.
And the rise of soft-on-crime laws and policies have made it worse.
Our man in the Pacific Northwest, Jason Rant, is on that.
And you keep on bringing us these extraordinary stories from Seattle. It's amazing.
Long form.
Over 2 years ago, we brought you an exclusive story of a friend of the show, a UW professor, Stuart Regis, who decided to go over to his syllabus to make a big point about land acknowledgements and, frankly, how absolutely silly they are. As a result of that, he ended up getting investigated. He ended up getting retaliated against, and he decided to sue. He decided to sue with the help of the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. His lawyer, Josh Bleach, joins me now. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey there. Thank you so much for having me.
You had a hearing today. How did it go?
We did. Yeah, it went. I think it went really well. We were able to present our case. So this is a hearing on summary judgment, essentially asking the court to find, without a jury's involvement, that the law protects what Professor Regis had to say. And I think we made a compelling point that Professor Regis was speaking on a political topic because the university invited that, and they started punishing him because they didn't like what he had to say.
Well, when you say the university invited it, get into that a little bit more, because, you know, and I remember arguing this point at the time that this had become an issue. A land acknowledgement in and of itself is a political point.
It is. And so this is part of the university's best practices for inclusive teaching. They recommended that faculty members include a land acknowledgement statement on their syllabi. Professor Regis, as you mentioned, disagreed with the whole premise, the whole point of the university's suggestion there. And so he wrote his own, satirizing the university's point of view.
And he specifically wrote, "I acknowledge that by the labor theory of property, the Coast Salish people can claim historical ownership of almost none of the land currently occupied by the University of Washington." After he sent that, there was an administrator by the name of Magdalena Balazinska who responded to it by apologizing to the students in his class, calling it offensive. How else did the University of Washington react?
Yeah, so the University of Washington did a few different things. First, they censored his syllabus for that winter quarter. They took it down and replaced it with a version scrubbing clean the statement from his syllabus. Then they launched an investigation that took really over a year from when they announced it to its conclusion. And that investigation has the threat of suspension or punishment. And they also created what we're calling a shadow course, where they created this separate section of his class and told students that, hey, you can leave Professor Regis's class and go to this other one. So you don't have to, if you're offended by what he has to say. And in that communication, that's where they also called his statement offensive in that one as well.
Yeah, of course. Everything's offensive to folks on the radical, frankly, on both sides of the radical left and right. But when you talk about this investigation, what was the investigation supposed to be, and what exactly is the status?
Yeah, so this is an investigation under a university policy that prevents, they call conduct, but of course they're investigating pure speech here, that prevents anything that's inappropriate or offensive. And the problem with that is that, when you're applying it to free pure speech like this, any political topic is going to be offensive to somebody. Exactly. That's how politics works. So they did this investigation. They found that he did violate policy, but they declined to punish him. Of course, the lawsuit had been filed by this point. So that might explain why they declined to go forward with any punishment. But in the letter concluding the investigation, they threatened him with future punishment if anybody else complains about what he has to say.
Yeah, and obviously that's not really a tenable position for any professor to be in, regardless of the course he or she teaches, right? I mean, at some point, if you decide to get political outside of the purview of the classroom, that still can play a role as to whether or not someone complains.
Of course, and to the university, complaints themselves are, they say, a disruption to the academic environment. But the problem with that is any student can file a complaint about anything. And you can imagine a situation with a conservative student complaining about something a liberal professor says, or something not even on the ideological spectrum as we think of it, but maybe some religious speech, pro or anti, or of course, Israel and Palestine. And that, you know, there are so many hot button issues. And if all it takes for the university to take action is a complaint, that's a serious problem.
And isn't, though, the inference here that if a conservative student did, in fact, complain about a radical left professor, or a Jewish student making a complaint about a radical left professor on the topic of Israel versus Hamas, nothing would really be done? Because I'm pretty sure that those complaints have been leveled before, and it didn't seem to get a whole lot of traction.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously I can't speak to any of that specifically, but I mean, you would hope that the university would be consistent, but again, if they're not, that's part of our complaint here, is that they discriminated against Professor Regis because of his viewpoint. Yeah.
But I guess that's the point, though, right? That it is, in fact, inconsistent, right? I mean, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression used to be the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, and it focused exclusively on colleges. And it would seem, because I've been, you know, following FIRE, and they helped me with the case when I was in college, for a very long time, and it's always inconsistencies that seem to impact the conservative 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, in the last decade or so, we have seen it's, you know, conservative faculty and students that are more targeted. But, you know, just political winds always shift. And we're also seeing this in states like Florida and Texas, where the states are trying to tell faculty what they can and can't teach, or can and can't talk about. And that's why it's important to be principled about free speech topics like this. Because, you know, when the pendulum switches,
yeah.
You might be you'll find yourself on the other end.
Well, it was a quote that I often cite on the show that Greg Lukianoff, the president of FIRE, once told me, which was, imagine the power to censor in the hands of your worst enemy. And that message stuck with me since I was in college for the exact reason you just pointed out. The pendulum will inevitably swing to the other way. And right now, liberals seem to enjoy this kind of power because they're the ones who get to use it. The second that it gets used and or potentially abused or even perceived as abused by the conservatives, the left will be all up in arms. And so you have to take these positions on speech as if you weren't the person who is in charge. And I think that that changes the way people actually look at these issues.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
We're talking with attorney Josh Bleach. He's with the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Their website is thefire.org. He represents Professor Stuart Regis. You had your hearing today. You said it went well. Why do you think it went well? And what was the argument that UW was making?
So I think it went well. I think we presented our case. I think, you know, we were well prepared. And frankly, I think the law and the facts side with us. The university leaned on their same argument that what Professor Regis said created a disruption because it caused student complaints. And, for the reasons that I mentioned before, I that's just not a compelling reason for the government to take any kind of action, especially on a university campus, to take any kind of action that stifles the free exchange of ideas.
What are you and the professor asking for?
So right now we are asking for the court to find on summary judgment, which basically means that we don't dispute what the facts as they happened here. We don't dispute that he said what he said, that the university took the actions that they did, but that, you know, under the law, there's no situation. We're asking the court to find for Professor Regis that the defendants, the university here, violated his free speech rights, and that they're using a vague and overbroad policy to do so.
Does that mean they would get rid of the policy? Is that what you're asking them to do, or just make sure that they're utilizing it in a consistent and fair way?
We're asking that the court, at the very least, order them to modify the policy so that they can only apply it to true conduct that is illegal. This is something like harassment or discrimination or retaliation. That's already against the law. But what we're asking the court to do is to make it so that they cannot use this policy against pure speech.
If they decide to do that, assuming the judge goes with you, or even not, just because they might want to just settle this case, and I'm actually—are you surprised they haven't tried to settle this yet, or they're just basically waiting to see what happens next?
Yeah, I think they're like us. They're waiting to see what happens. They have a motion to dismiss still pending, technically. So I think both sides right now are just waiting to see what the judge has to say about this.
So generally, once they get past this stage, again, it obviously depends on what the judgment is, but it feels like these colleges know what they did was wrong, and they always end up settling the second that the judgment doesn't go their way, which means they could have just avoided all of this to begin with, right? I mean, aren't you seeing that with the fire pretty consistently?
Well, I mean, in this case, they absolutely could have avoided it ever getting here. We tried to level with the university before we even filed this lawsuit. FIRE sent a letter on Professor Regis's behalf telling them that what they were doing violated the First Amendment. Professor Regis had meetings with the administrators where he told them that, you know, his speech is protected by the First Amendment, and they went ahead. And so that's how it came to the lawsuit in the first place.
What do you think motivates schools like that to do this? I mean, is it purely ideological?
You know, I'm not sure, and I can't speak to their motivations really here, but I imagine that, you know, it's not always purely ideological. It's about, you know, they are in a, you know, the government, they think that what they can do, you know, that it doesn't really violate speech rights, because in this case, he's a professor, he's an employee. They think mm-hmm. that they can, you know, treat him like any other employee, and that's not the case. When you're the government as the employer, the First Amendment still applies.
Yeah. Although, again, oddly enough, they don't treat him like they do other professors, I would argue, because he is conservative-leaning. Again, we've been talking with Josh. He's a lawyer, Bleach. He's a lawyer with The Fire. It's called the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Their website is thefire.org. Highly recommend you check them out. They're doing some amazing work and have been for a very long time. Thank you so much, Josh. I really appreciate it, and good luck with the case.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, we're going to dive into some quick hits right here on KTTH.